Hello, you're listening to the Grocery Girls podcast. The Grocery Girls is a non-profit organisation focused on inspiring and empowering women in the grocery industry at all stages of their careers. We want to help women realise their full potential, channeling their talent and ambition to seize the opportunities they deserve and carve out a career that works for them.
I'm Jo Whitfield, the founder of Grocery Girls and also CEO of Co-op Food. I'm the first female CEO of a major grocery retailer, but it's absolutely my mission to ensure that there's many more of us coming through in the years to come. There are so many amazing, talented and driven women in our industry, and we want to bring you all together to share experiences and to ensure that every one of us reaches our goals.
I'm Hester Lonergan, and I'll be your podcast host. Every episode, I'll be interviewing someone working in the grocery industry, from intern to CEO and retailer to supplier. I'll be asking them to share their daily routines, lessons learned and hopes for the future. We'll also be exploring how we adapt and flex to make our professional and personal lives work together, all the while embracing the fast-paced, ever-changing environment of this industry. Hi everyone, welcome to episode 6 of the Grocery Girls podcast. I hope you're all doing well this week. I think that for many of us, events over the past couple of weeks have been galvanising, whether that's in terms of action or reflection or both. Just a short note that we pre-record all our interviews, and the one you're hearing today was recorded about a month ago. We're sticking to our schedule, but in this week's News You Can Use section, which comes at the end of the episode, Verity is sharing a message of support. In this episode, I spoke to Jenny Flintoft, who's a motivational consultant. She designs and delivers memorable leadership, personal development, and corporate events that transform businesses, change lives, and leave a lasting positive impact. She loves to help people find different perspectives, different thinking about their situations, and best of all, help them tap into their own unique set of talents, strengths, and qualities. She says this isn't about becoming someone new. We don't need new, we need you. Jenny spoke at one of our events last year, and since then we've been smitten with her. In this interview, I was struck by the depth of Jenny's thinking and the openness of her mind. I came away with a lot of food for thought, and I hope you do the same. Enjoy the episode. Great. So hello. Welcome to another episode of the Grocery Girls podcast. Today I have with me the amazing Jenny Flintoft. So Jenny, for the benefit of our audience, would you mind introducing yourself and just telling us a bit about you, please?
Of course. Hi, Hester. It's Jenny here. I am a leadership and motivation consultant. So essentially, I work with people all over the world who are trying to get the best out of themselves and the best out of other people. And I've been doing that for forever. I've had my own business since 2001 now. And prior to that, my last corporate job, I was the European training manager for Disney.
Amazing. I guess you went into business and started doing your own thing quite a while ago. But are you quite prepared for uncertainty and change? How has this current situation been for you?
Yeah, it's strange, really. And yeah, although I've been in business on my own for a long time, because all my clients predominantly are corporate clients, I say predominantly about 90% of them, I'm sort of really feeling the whole shift with them. I've got, I guess, slightly more flexibility in terms of I don't have lots of stuff to think about and to worry about. And that's my heart's really gone out to a lot of people about that, because so much of the leadership stuff I've been doing has been around doing the right thing, even though the right thing can really hurt. So I've really sort of felt for people who are having to make some really difficult decisions. So I guess I'm in a fortunate position where I've got a more flexibility, and I guess the only person I've got to consult with really is me, in terms of what's the right thing to do, how do I flex with this, how do I move with it. But I do feel very much, you know, part of the whole thing corporately as well.
Amazing. Thank you for sharing. So I guess you've talked a bit about the work that you've been doing with clients over this period. So what does work look like for you at the moment in terms of physically? Where are you? Has your routine changed? What have you been up to?
Yeah, routine's definitely changed. So, you know, I'm at home constantly at the moment. I'm lucky in that a lot of my work anyway was virtual. So I was doing virtual seminars, virtual motivational speaking, some leadership development, etc. virtually. So there was an element of that that was still has still remained the same. But what I have found is just the whole concept of having the kids at home, and my kids are 10 and 15, so they're not little, but just that whole concept of people being in my space, and it sounds awful, but that's been my biggest challenge, because when I'm at work, I'm very much head down, focus until I know that people are going to be coming home, kids are going to be coming home, and just having them around and asking those additional questions and having that extra juggle has definitely necessitated a different sort of mindset shift with me, and recognizing that I can't produce as much as I have been in the past, and yeah, that's required a very different type of thinking for me, because I'm a fast worker. I get a lot done, and really sort of that identity piece of, God, I'm just not getting as much done as I normally do. What does that say about me? You know, because of everything else I'm having to juggle. And I recognise that so many people are feeling the same, but it was a strange feeling in the initial weeks, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And I completely get where you're coming from. And I think your point that you know that many people are feeling the same can't ring truer. And I think for me, over the past 2 or 3 weeks, I think that's been something that's really come to the fore, that everyone's feeling the same and everyone is feeling frustrated and guilty that they want to be doing more. But I was reading a really interesting article which was talking about how if you're doing the things that you need to do to be keeping up with delivering on your role, then you're doing enough. Everything else that you're doing is a bonus. I guess it's tricky because so many people that I know and that I work with in the grocery industry are incredibly driven, motivated and very much kind of future focused and focused on developing and driving things forward. And when everything is slowed down and actually they are pushed to take that time and slow things down and not be able to kind of just go after what they want and seize it, I think it's really tricky.
Yeah, I think it is too. And, you know, I know that many people listening, that in terms of their work hasn't changed, in that they're not working from home, not everybody anyway. Some people are still working in their normal environment, but it's just heightened exponentially. And I think that the challenge that many women face, I think women are so hardworking. I just think there's something about a woman that just seems to graft and really, really graft. And actually, the recent situation has required a different kind of grafting and a different kind of mindset and managing everything that's going on. And that's where I think some women can sort of look at themselves and feel that they're lacking. And you're absolutely right. No, we're not at all. You know, if you want something done, my goodness, ask a woman to do it, as far as I'm concerned, because she will find a way. The biggest challenge we've got is our expectations of ourselves and what is actually good enough. We often think is not, and we think it's below requirement and below expectation, and we've really got to try and look at things objectively and think, you know, is honestly, if I was anybody else and I was looking at that and looking at my output and looking at the quality of my work and what I've done, would I believe that that was enough? And 9 times out of 10, we would. But as soon as we turn attention to ourselves, we can be a little bit hard on ourselves. And that's something that I'm really trying to help women with.
Amazing. And so you think that is a uniquely female problem?
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. There's traits that men and women share, and we can't put all women in a box nor men in a box. But there is something about that that really sort of working hard, don't want to be seen to be letting the side down. You know, must do as much as I possibly can. I often say that the hardest working people are the part-time women, because there's something about an awareness of, oh, I've got to leave at 3. So I don't want anybody thinking that I'm part-time in mentality. And so they graft and graft and graft. And it is that whole thing of must not let anybody down, which on the one hand is fantastic. It's a fabulous trait. But if it leads to us over expecting of ourselves, and I think we need to just be a little bit mindful of that, and sometimes have people around us who can help us with those sorts of conversations that we might be having internally.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting, thank you. And I think part of the decision making process, and I guess part of the difficulty over this period, has been understanding your outputs in terms of what you want to deliver versus what you should be delivering and what other people can deal with you delivering. So personally, I've seen lots and lots of people in the grocery industry completely stretched, so busy, because we've been at the core of this kind of crisis, and some people's jobs have just gone berserk. But then there are other people who maybe actually feel like they're not being productive because their workload has diminished slightly. And I think from some conversations I've been having with people, it's been kind of about reframing the idea and acknowledging that, well, yeah, I feel like I'm not being as productive as I want to be, and that's difficult, but other people are really, really stretched and maybe the most compassionate and the most resourceful and effective and the most considered thing to do is for me to not put this on their plate and just bustle away in the background, adding value where I can, making it clear that I have, you know, support to offer if it's required, but not putting pressure on anyone else to give me more so that I can fulfill my own needs to be this super productive driven person.
Yeah, I love that. I really do. And you're right about that compassion. For me, the word compassion, if I have to describe it, and this is what I've sort of said to, certainly to my kids before, compassion is about noticing and taking action, because we can sympathise with people and we still notice stuff, but we don't do anything different. For me, compassion is about noticing what's needed and doing what I can to meet that need. So I think you're absolutely right. You know, if I'm feeling, gosh, I'd love something a bit more just to get my teeth into, but actually my asking that and it's actually putting more pressure on somebody else, you know, I'll find a way. I don't want to be the person to do that added pressure. So yeah, I think that's a really good point, actually.
Great. So I would love to know a bit more about the kinds of work that you do. So I know you were talking about how you support women. When you're kind of doing your work, is that with individuals or more kind of team-based or larger group stuff? Can you tell us a bit about how you do what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. It starts big and it comes small. So by that, I don't market myself as a coach at all. I market myself as a consultant, and that's where my strength is. So I tend to work with leaders and their teams, and that can be, you know, a team of 5, or it can be, you know, a huge rollout that is hundreds of people. That can be doing a keynote to a few hundred people, or just doing a small talk for a group of a team. So it starts on that level, and it's usually around, you know, what do we want people to be thinking, feeling and doing that they're not thinking and feeling and doing now. Out of that, occasionally people will connect with me and then get in touch and say, there was something about what you said about X, or I really liked it when you focus in on Y. Do you do one-to-ones? Because I feel like I'd like to work with you. And then, you know, we can have a conversation around that. So that's how it tends to happen in that way. So yes, I start with the bigger numbers, and if people choose to sort of investigate and explore whether they'd like to work with me on a one-to-one, then that's how it happens.
Okay, that's really interesting. I wonder, I'm not asking you to give specifics, but I wonder whether you can tell us some of the general kind of what kind of themes do you talk about? So if you are doing one-to-ones, or in fact if you're doing any kind of work, what kinds of themes are you helping people kind of dig a bit deeper into?
It's really around the whole concept of why. Why do I think like I think? Why does that bother me and it doesn't bother Jane? You know, why am I getting frustrated by that? And am I right to get frustrated by that? Why is it that I can say one thing to Steve and it's absolutely fine, but I say the same thing to Paul and it's like I'm an idiot. It doesn't seem to land. So it's all that sort of real understanding of, you know, what makes me tick, and how come I can translate it in certain areas, but in other situations I can't, and they're really similar. I can't understand why. I can do a presentation on a Tuesday and it's fine, and I do a presentation on the Thursday and I'm a gibbering wreck. Why is that? And so it's really trying to sort of unpick all the ingredients, because very often we think that the situation is exactly the same, and it isn't. And the way I describe it is a little bit like a recipe for, I don't know, spaghetti bolognese. All of us know how to make spag bol, but every single one of us will have a really slight twist that's slightly different. You know, you might put in an extra ingredient, I might leave something out. So a spag bol is a spag bol, but there's something about those different ingredients that sort of elevate it or leave it wanting. And that's what I try to do. We try to unpick, okay, so what are the ingredients? What's missing on Thursday that you have on Tuesday? Let's have a look at what that is. And very often I find that things always come down to people. Always. It's never technology. It's never processes. It's never a lack of resource. Those things are irritants, but the things that really, really cut to our core and that we stew over are either I'm not good enough, I'm not understood, or she drives me insane. Why can't I get on with her when I can get on with everybody else? Is that about me or is that about her? And people are always the thing the tie that binds, if you like.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And so do you propose solutions? I guess one of the things that we spoke about briefly the last time we caught up was about this idea of a one-size-fits-all approach not working. So I wonder whether you can talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I can't bear one-size-fits-all. I can never, ever say to anybody, okay, follow this list, do X, Y, Z, and you are going to be golden, because XYZ is completely and utterly dependent on your strengths, your development areas. So I'll give you an example. Somebody wants to get better at networking. So I say, OK, find a networking event that you want to attend. Have a look at the list of people who are on there. Make sure that you approach three of those people and come away with at least one contact at the end of it. That's how you network. Now, one person will think, that's great, thank you, I'll follow that, that's fine. Somebody else thinks, wait, what? I've got to actually go and talk to somebody I've never met. Well, how do you do that? I can't just walk up to somebody and talk to. And so then you've got somebody else who says, of course you do, that's what networking's about. So yeah, that's fine, that I can run with it. And so straight away, that list doesn't fit, and then we are in a situation where person B again is then saying, I'm just not good enough, because I can't just walk in and talk to somebody I don't know. So that just reinforces everything I'm deep down thinking about myself, which is I am not good enough. And so it's just wrong, in my opinion, and I'm going to be as strong as that. It's wrong to suggest that there is a magic, simple A to Z formula to follow and everybody will be fine. You look at things like leadership theories. I tell you something, I'm now on a roll. If you type into if you type into Google something like, how do I become a millionaire? There will literally be thousands upon thousands upon thousands of entries that will tell you exactly how to be a millionaire. So how come there aren't any more millionaires? And the fact of the matter is, because some of the things that are being suggested that you do not fit everybody. And so that's the thing. I'm also very much of the... A kind of the tough love. I don't want to be cruel because I think that doesn't help anybody. But I'm very much of the do something or do nothing. It's absolutely up to you. But please be crystal clear that both of those are choices. So if you choose to do nothing as a result of our conversation and as a result of us exploring different options, that is absolutely fine. But you have made that decision. And if your life is still the same as it is now in another 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, please don't say, well, that's because of this and that and the other, because we explored loads of options. But you have chosen for whatever reason not to do any of them. It's a bit like a kid who says, I'm bored. And you think, well, do you want to go to the cinema? No. Do you want to go bowling? No. Or do you want to go to the park? No. Well, should we go swimming? No. So you're not bored. You're not bored because I've just given you all these options you could do and you are choosing not to do any of them. So you know what? You need to examine what's missing for you.
Yeah. And I think really to your point, I love this. It's so interesting. I think to your point, actually, because we are all individuals and what works for one person it won't work for someone else, and we have completely different ways of being, actually it's up to you to work out what the right thing is. So if you say that you're bored and someone offers you all these options, if none of those options kind of quench your thirst, then it is actually for you to work out what you want to do.
Yes. Exactly that. So this is when in a conversation, and a bit like, you know, when I have conversations with leaders, with people in at work, and they can always find the reason why something won't work. Now I've tried that. No, the thing is, and there's always a pushback. Incidentally, very often when people say I've tried that, they've tried it once. And it didn't work for whatever reason, you know. And like anything, we've got to try it. We've got to do things more than once to see if we're going to get a return. You know, I can't just do 10 sit-ups and expect a washboard stomach. More's the damn pity. You've got to keep doing it, you know. So there's something around. Talk me through what's the block, you know. There was a conversation that I had a while back with a female leader, and it was about a relationship at work that was a bit tricky, and we talked about various different things. And eventually I got to the and every option she kept on pushing back. And it was about somebody who was senior to her, by the way. And eventually I said, you know what, I'm going to call it. I don't think you want to do anything about that. I think you want him to change. And she just sat for a minute and she said, yeah, I do, because he's the senior manager. And I think it's really unfair that you're sitting with me looking at all these options of things that I should be doing differently when he should damn well know better. And I said, yeah, he should. He really should at that level. He should be operating differently, but he's not. So we've got to think, do we continue as is? Which is you not doing anything but getting more and more frustrated and resentful and miserable, or do we look at what we can influence, which is you? Yes, he should know better, and at the moment he doesn't. You do know better, so let's look at what we do with that. But that was a real watershed moment of, actually, I don't want to do anything. I want somebody else to do some other things. And I think sometimes that's a tough conversation. And I've been there. I've definitely been there. I am not holier than thou. There are things where I sometimes look and I think, I just wish that all the ducks in the line would come without me having to do anything, because actually me having to do something might cause me discomfort or, you know, a bit of pain. I know that it'll be all right at the end, but I don't particularly want to do it. And so, and I am saying that to be honest with you, I don't want anybody ever to listen to me and think that I am holier than thou, you know, superwoman, because I'm not. You know, there are days when I want to get underneath my duvet and just lick my wounds and not come out. But I also feel that it's important that we acknowledge, hey girl, it's you that's getting in your way, nobody else.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it is really hard, isn't it? Because it's that, I think we've all been there. I would be highly surprised if someone somewhere had never been in that place. It's really, really frustrating when actually in your head, the phrase is, I shouldn't have to change. There's nothing wrong with how I am doing things. But the problem is that there is a blocker in place, which is another person, and they should change, but they won't. And the way to make the situation more bearable for myself is to move myself, is to be the one that takes steps. And yeah, it's the most frustrating thing. And I think to your previous point, something that I learned in my last role. So before I was working on the Grocery Girls, I was managing a team of 8 people. And I was bringing them through a restructure, and it was my first role managing anyone, let alone 8 people. I think the most important lesson I learned from that period, from working in that role, was that change takes a really long time, and changing people's minds especially takes a really long time. So to your point, I completely agree that trying something once, especially when it's trying something once with other people, is not going to be conclusive. If you just try it once and it works, that's brilliant. But actually, things take a really long time, and people move slowly, and accustomizing yourself to something new takes a lot of time and a lot of work. So if you're trying something just once and it doesn't work, I would say that's probably not enough.
Yeah, I agree. And it's also about being really clear about what are your expectations. Very often our expectations are incredibly high. We might have a very strained relationship with somebody. And when when I sort of talk, what is it that you're looking for, etc., it's almost like let's take on a scale of 1 to 10. The relationship is on a 3. And the other person describes what the relationship they want, and they're describing a 10. And, you know, you have to think, wow, okay, so how realistic is that? And actually, do you need it on a 10? Or do you just need it better? You only actually have, you know, a meeting or two a week with this person. So it's a couple of hours of your week, and then there might be sort of a few emails in between. But we are trying to put all our time, effort and energy into making a 3 out of 10 relationship, of which you only need 2 hours a week devoted to it. You are trying to make that into a 10, you know. And so again, let's just look at what might a 4 look like, because making something better, everybody can do, no matter where they are on the scale and no matter what we're talking about, whether it's learning a skill, building confidence, you know, developing a relationship, you know, getting better, it is within all our power. But let's really sort of check in with ourselves. Am I expecting just too much of this person, this thing, this situation? I think that's a good conversation to have as well.
Yeah, so interesting. And I think, I don't know about you, but if I asked myself how many relationships in both my professional and personal lives I would rate 10s, I mean, they'd be on one hand. So expecting that from a relationship that isn't naturally productive, yeah.
Yeah, Exactly that. And the fact of the matter is, we need to be able to be professional and efficient and as warm as we can. And, oh, that's a whole other podcast, warmth. There's so much research that's done on that.
We'll do another episode, Jenny, for sure.
There's something around, showing some warmth to somebody. It's amazing how much we can melt a little bit, you know, and actually find some softer ways forward, even with the people that you think we are fundamentally opposed in our thinking, our work preferences, everything. It is completely Mars and Venus. You'd be surprised, actually, at some things that can be done. But yeah, another podcast.
Yeah, kind of persevere with that for a couple of minutes, because that's a really interesting point. And I think probably you are right, we should probably catch up again and have a proper conversation about this. But thinking about warmth and that way of approaching people, particularly in a professional setting, so I would view that as a more female trait. And certainly I think a lot of the kind of stereotyping and a lot of the issues that people face in business is this idea that in order to be successful, we should behave like successful men, which translates to kind of cold, direct, not interested in having a kind of an empathetic conversation, being very straight down the line, not really having a place for emotion or really for kindness or compassion. So it's so interesting that you say that actually so much success can come from exhibiting that warmth.
Oh yeah, so much can come. I mean, you think of, I'll give you a really quick example. When, let's say you've got a meeting at 10 o'clock, you walk into the meeting room, there's just one person there, and it's somebody who you've got a good relationship, a warm relationship with. Straight away, we engage in, hi, you're right, how are you doing, what are you working on? Chat, 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 you know, a nice warm conversation. Let's run that again. Meeting at 10 o'clock, you walk into that meeting room, there is one person there already, and that one person you are entirely professional with, and that's it. What do you do with that person? Hi, Jane, how are you? Yeah, good, thank you. Busy? Yeah, absolutely. And we sit down and we open our laptop or we open our phone and we scroll, and that is it. So we can say, well, I'm being professional, I've spoken to her. You think, yeah, but how much have you developed that relationship? You know, just in those couple of minutes, just having a bit of an extra warm conversation, but we keep everything at professional level, which is cool. I've said exactly what I've needed to say to look and to feel okay. And now I'm just going to immerse myself into my phone until somebody else turns up. And there are so many different opportunities throughout our day where we can just develop relationships and make them better, to come back to the point that we said earlier on. And I think we miss out on some of those a lot.
Okay, amazing. So thank you so much for sharing, Jenny. This has been super interesting. And I think we've delved into some stuff. Well, I'm not sure whether we've even delved. I feel like we've scratched the surface of some topics that I know our listeners would be super interested in. And I think there's some stuff that we can explore a bit further, and certainly for me there's been stuff that I found really interesting and potentially will take away and have a mull over. I know that you were at one of our first events with the Grocery Girls, weren't you? Was it this kind of stuff that you were talking about with our audience?
Yeah, it was talking about, yeah, absolutely, about ourselves as women, how we think, that, you know, desire to please all the time, to not want to rock the boat, to try to conform, really. So there was an element of that we were talking about, and about how to be a little bit bolder and a little bit braver and prouder of who we are, you know, with all our different personalities. We've got some people who are much more extrovert, some people more introvert. All of us have different strengths, but just to honour those and not look at what we're lacking, but to be proud of the strengths that we've got and to really maximise those out.
Amazing. And I'm so interested to see, I think we're at a really exciting time. Obviously, right now today, is a challenging time, and there are lots of challenges that will continue for many months, but it's also an exciting time because I see people taking the opportunity to be more themselves, because we're in our homes and we're seeing each other in our in our natural habitats. Everyone is kind of softening, and I think some of that warmth is coming through. And I will be really interested to see when we go back into offices and when we start seeing each other face to face, properly face to face, not through Zoom, whether some of that will remain and whether that warmth will be something that starts to come through in a more natural way.
Yeah, that is my absolute longing. It's my absolute longing, because I've been doing a piece of research recently around, you know, what have been some of the changes that you've noticed, what are you longing to go back to, and actually what do you want to leave firmly behind, what don't you want to return to. And almost exclusively it is about pace of work, expectations of ourselves, and also this sense of, yeah, I really feel like the community and people have really revealed a gorgeous spirit about themselves and a kindness. And, you know, please let's not go back to how it was, you know, just every man for himself, every woman for herself, etc. And that is my longing. My fear, if I'm going to be absolutely transparent, is a little bit that as soon as we get back into the office, it's almost like we just jump straight on the treadmill and we have the treadmill right up at number 10 again, rather than just easing ourselves in and thinking, look at what we produced in these circumstances with these sorts of hours and these sorts of challenges. That is really good. Now, there's an argument that could be said, well, if we could do that in this circumstance, how much more can we do? And I, you know, I get that from a commercial perspective. But actually, you know, in we are in 2020, we are two decades into the 21st century. We have got to be so mindful of people and looking after them well. I think we can stretch people, but we mustn't stress them. And I think that we can empower and encourage people. But I don't want people to feel overwhelmed as well. And that's my absolute heart and desire, that when we go back, go forward, when the new world reveals itself, that there are some real lessons and learning that we take from this time and we hold fast to them.
Oh, Jenny, that's so lovely. I find that so inspiring. And yeah, you paint a really beautiful picture, and I'm really hopeful that when we do go back, I think it's almost a sense of community, isn't it? I think we've really established a strong sense of community while we've all, well, not all of us, while a lot of us have been home, and we've been so, so supportive and appreciative of those who aren't able to stay in their homes and who are on the front line, whether it's working in hospitals or whether it's working in supermarkets and shops that are staying open, or the delivery drivers who are kind of racing around towns and cities down roads to deliver all of everyone's deliveries. And I just hope some of that does remain, some of that understanding of the effort that everyone's going to achieve kind of living together.
Yeah, that living, and as you say, possibilities and potential rather than problems, and people being optimistic rather than seeing obstacles, all of that stuff, absolutely. Yeah, let's hope.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I'll be crossing my fingers and toes and eyes if I can. Great. thanks so much, Jenny. This has been so, so interesting. And yeah, we really value coming on and sharing your thoughts with us. So I'm going to do a couple of quickfire questions now, every time I've done these quickfires before, they end up not being that quick or fiery, but let's give it a go.
I'll try.
Yeah, thank you. Since you've been working from home and since you've been in lockdown, is there anything that you've realised you can't do without?
No, nothing. Absolutely nothing. There's nothing I could do without. Nothing. I am all right, and I am safe, and I'm well, and I'm happy. No, there's nothing. Absolutely. Although, just as an aside, Wi-Fi. I think if the Wi-Fi or the broadband went down, it would be a very different answer, Hester. So as long as we've got some sort of connection to the wider world in terms of the internet, that'll do me.
I could see, for me, if my internet connection wasn't working, well, actually my Wi-Fi has not been great for the past few days, and I think if it was a sustained issue, I would probably be having to try and enrol in some sort of Zoom anger management.
Absolutely.
Deep breath. I can't believe that we used to like kind of wait for phones to dial up and then sit and watch that time, that what's it called, those little sand timer things, what are they called?
Yeah, the little sand timer. The egg timer thing. Yeah, absolutely crazy.
And watch those load. Like who has that patience these days? Oh.
absolutely that.
Amazing. Okay, so second quickfire, and I interjected that one. I drew that one out of it. Second quickfire, what is the first thing you're going to do when the world returns to, air quotes, normality?
Okay, the first thing, I know I should say, hug my friends and see my family, and indeed that's true, but my God, I'm going to book for my hair to be cut and coloured. Oh my God, that's going to be the first phone call I make.
Your hair's looking great though. Granted, I've never seen it before, so I don't know what it's meant to look like.
Oh, you're very, very kind. No, exactly. Yeah, there might be somebody else saying, girlfriend, no. She doesn't.
But yeah, I can completely sympathise with that. So I shouldn't say this really, but I've taken to cutting my fringe with nail scissors. I know, but I don't have any professional hair cutting scissors, and it just, for anyone, I'm not going to show anyone a photo, but I just have this bowl fringe. Like, it's not a good job. I've always known I shouldn't cut my own hair, but yeah, it's just not going well for me.
Brilliant. There's something about a woman, if your hair's all right, everything's all right, you know, and yeah, for me, that's absolutely number one on the list for sure.
Yeah, amazing. Well, I look forward to seeing your new do when we're out of lockdown and you've been to the salon. Great. And the last thing that we always ask the people that we interview for the podcast is for a recommendation. So I think that you have a book that you've been reading to share with us, do you, Jenny?
I do, and it's only very recently come out. It's called Untamed, Stop Pleasing, Start Living, and it's by Glennon Doyle. She's a New York Times bestselling author, and it's very much around a sort of a galvanizing, you know, shake you by the shoulders of what women do and how we are brought up, you know, to be good, to toe the line, you know, don't make a fuss or anything like that, and always to put other people first. And whilst of course it's important to be considerate of other people, the way that she tells stories and the way that she gives examples just absolutely blew my mind. And she describes a cheetah at the start. I'll really be quick because I'm conscious of time, but I do want to tell you this story. The very, 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 the opening chapter is about, she goes to this zoo with her kids, and they bring out, first of all, they bring out this Labrador, and they say, we have brought up Angelica the cheetah to live with this Labrador, and they are best friends, and you know, Angelica copies everything that this Labrador does. Isn't that amazing? And so they bring out this Labrador, they attach this sort of pink bunny to a Range Rover, the Range Rover goes off, and the Labrador runs off, and after the pink bunny, how lovely. Let's bring out Angelica, or Tabitha is the name of the cheetah. The cheetah comes out, and Glennon says, and she looks beautiful, you know, and next minute she runs off after the Range Rover, and that's all groovy. So whilst the zoo people are talking about, you know, she's been brought up here in captivity, you know, but it's great because she's got everything that she could ever want. The cheetah goes to the furthest part away, and she sort of climbs up this tree, and they say that, you know, her haunches come up and she just looks so regal and so majestic, and she's sort of looking beyond the boundaries. And it was her daughter had said, look, you know, do you think that Tabitha has remembered what being a cheetah is about? And she said it was one of those moments that, you know, even though the way that she's been brought brought up, she's been conditioned to stay in this place and to do what she's been told to do. But there was clearly something within her that wanted more, you know. And she said, you know, she was born to be a damn cheater, you know, but yet she's in this boundary, she said. And I think that's the same for us. You know, she's become tamed and we need to untame ourselves. We come in within these boundaries and we need to untame ourselves, not to be wild and reckless, but to recognise that actually that we're probably built and we could probably are capable of so much more, but we've suppressed it all. And it's a brilliant, brilliant book and I can't recommend it more.
Oh, that sounds amazing. I might have a look and see if I can purchase a copy. I think, yeah, very much that idea of kind of being ourselves and how I like to refer to it, letting my freak flag fly, is something that I definitely want to feel like I'm safe to do a bit more, especially in the workplace. So yeah, really interesting stuff. Well, Jenny, amazing. This has been so brilliant. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on and speak to me. I have been so kind of blown away by the stuff that you've been sharing, and I think our audience is going to get a heck of a lot from the conversation. So yeah, just huge thanks.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. I just want to do a bit of a caveat at the end. On the day of recording, there's been, you know, a few kids, they're only little, playing out in my little tiny street. I live in a little, very quiet cul-de-sac, and they're only little, they're sort of 3 and 5 and 7, and they're trying desperately to keep their distance, but there's a lot of sort of squealing as they're shouting to one another from their various gardens. So if you do pick up on any squealing in the background, no children have been harmed during the production of this podcast. They're just having fun. And let's hope that they keep having fun, same as us.
Okay, amazing to know. So no one will be alarmed if there are a few squeals during the interview. Brilliant. Okay, well, thank you so much, Jenny. And yeah, I think I've said thank you about 17 times now, haven't I? But it's been really brilliant. And we look forward to hearing from you again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you. It's been a real privilege to be asked and I'm really grateful. Thank you.
Thank you so much to Jenny for taking the time to talk to me and for that conversation. I got so much out of it and I hope you did too. I think when I listen back and reflect on what we spoke about, the thing that rings the most true and I've thought about the most since was that idea of asking yourself what you need out of a relationship for it to be successful. And I think prioritising yourself and understanding the limits of what you can control within any working relationship and more broadly, I think is really great to think about. So yeah, I hope there were parts of that that rang true for you as well. And before we draw this episode to the close, as always, we are going to Verity with her News You Can Use. And as I said at the beginning of this episode, she's got a special note on the recent events for us to reflect on.
Hi everyone, it's Verity, and your News You Can Use comes from a very wet Manchester this afternoon. I'm currently sat in my living room, working away, trying to muster up some energy and enthusiasm to go for a run this evening. Anyway, we didn't want to air an episode of the podcast without mentioning what's going on in the world at the moment and showing our support for everyone campaigning for racial equality. The Grocery Girls was founded because men exponentially outweigh women in senior roles, and our primary focus is on levelling the gender balance, a complex and mammoth challenge in its own right. But it doesn't start and end there. The challenge coincides and interlinks with many more, and inclusion is about working together across the board. We are only part of something much larger, and we offer our support and admiration to everyone who is standing up to make a difference.
You've been listening to the Grocery Girls podcast. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, please share with colleagues and friends or let us know on Twitter, LinkedIn or Instagram with the handle GroceryGirlsUK. You can join our network, subscribe to our newsletter, get more resources and find out about upcoming activity on our website, GroceryGirlsUK.com. See you soon!